All right, welcome to another edition of the Saints Happy Hour Patron Spotlight. That is where, if you are a patron and you donate at least $5 a month, you get a chance to have your very own podcast episode with me, Ralph Marlborough, where we chat for 15 or 20 minutes about being a Saints fan and how you came to be, your favorite Saints memory, how you found the show and all that. And this month, we are going global. We are talking to a person who is a Saints fan all the way in Australia, who I had the pleasure of meeting at the Saints-Falcons Thanksgiving Day game last year. Nick Knight is up in the middle of the darkness in Australia. Nick, thanks for setting your alarm and waking up and chatting with us.
No problems, Ralph. Good morning, good afternoon. Happy to be on the show, man. I appreciate it.
So how does a person in Australia, how do you decide, one, I want to watch NFL football, and then I'm going to watch NFL football and I'm going to like it, and I'm also going to be a Saints fan? Explain that process.
Obviously, traveling to the States, I first come across in 2007, so just post-Katrina down in New Orleans. I booked in to go watch a Saints game, just going, oh, hey, we'll go watch a game and see what it's all about. But unfortunately, our stop before New Orleans was in Vegas. So we ended up having a pretty big night in Vegas, as you do. So we missed our flight to New Orleans. So we missed the game, unfortunately. But we went, hey, we're in New Orleans, let's go out. So we went out in Bourbon Street and everybody was wearing their Saints jumpers or jerseys, and partying pretty hard. And I went, hey, I like this team. This is a team for me. So I've been a Saints fan since then, and sort of probably the last 5-6 years, I've started to obviously just be fascinated with the game, learning the rules, and it's sort of one of those games that it just gets you, Ralph. And I've been a mad fan, yeah, so 07, and that's how I become a Saints fan. And
it's interesting, you know, because I've talked to in the last couple of weeks that we've done some patron spotlights, and we've had some international people that have won the drawing, or people that have won the drawing but didn't get in touch with me or said they didn't want to do it, but they support the show anyway. So we had some international people, and the people in Ireland or England or the different places that we've talked to, the interesting thing about them is sort of Katrina of made them gravitate towards the Saints, because they saw, you know, Katrina was a big obviously it was a horrible event in New Orleans, and but it was a big international event, so they saw it, and it sort of made them become interested and empathetic to New Orleans and the culture and that sort of thing. And then they're like, hey, I'm gonna just root for the football team because that sort of connects me to New Orleans. And And that's how that's how most of them get connected internationally, which is interesting and unique. I have to say, when I was a kid, I'm old, so I'm in my early 40s, and I remember when ESPN used to show Australian rules football.
Yeah, sure.
As a kid, at like 3 p.m. And I was a kind of a nerd for it, and I had my favorite teams and that sort of thing. Do you follow that at all? And do the Saints supersede your love of any sports in Australia?
I do. I'm a big Aussie rules fan. I'm situated in Australia on Perth, so I'm on the west coast. But I actually go for a team on the other side of the country. So a little bit like Yosipu's being in Houston and supporting obviously the Saints, but being obviously a New Orleans person. It's getting there. Like, I'm pretty passionate about my Aussie rules, but my passion for NFL is definitely getting there, Ralph. I'll say it's a second just at the moment to my Aussie rules, love of Aussie rules. But it's definitely getting there. You know, like I said, that NFL game, it really does just grab you. You know, the plays, the strategy behind it, the playing, the roster, it does get me. Like I'll get up in the morning and, you know, it's the first thing I look at is what's happening on Twitter, what's happening with ESPN, with the Saints, see what you guys are doing. You know, like it really does grab you. And for, you know, in Australia, a lot of people think the game is just too hard and it goes for 6 hours. You know, it's but mind you, the
That's
NFL
true.
game in
They're not wrong.
Australia is starting to get a lot of traction. You know, but it's just again the time delay. You know, like I'll get up to watch a Saints game. It's either a 1 a.m. game, a 5:30 a.m. game, or an
Do you
8:30 a.m.
watch at
on a
home,
Monday.
or do you watch at home, or do you go out to a bar and
No, no. I'll watch it at home, but I've got a good group of friends here, Ralph. There's about 10 of us who are all NFL supporters. So we will get together and do like a Sunday night or a Monday night game and eat wings and drink shitty Budweiser.
Shitty
But hey, at
Budweiser,
least
the international beer that's terrible. It's terrible everywhere.
it's not a shitty IPA like Andrew would absolutely love. But it so we get together, we play fantasy football. I'm the only Saints supporter, so we've got a few Patriots supporters and you know, people like that. But yeah, so we really do make it an event where we get together and we'll watch a Sunday night game. Record it obviously and watch it on the Monday night.
So, do you always watch the game lives, or do you record them? And because we had some people in England and different places will say, look, if the Saints play on a Monday night or Sunday night, that's like 12 o'clock at night in Europe, sometimes later, depending on where they are, right? So they'll be like, look, I'll record it and I'll wake up and the first thing I do is I will watch it and I will not check my phone and I will not check Twitter and that sort of thing. And I do that for EPL, for British soccer. Like if Everton, if they kick off at 6, or if I want to sleep late, if they kick off at 7:30 on Sunday, like they did the other day, they played Man U, they kicked off at 7:30. I was like, my wife came home at like 2 at night because she was working a wedding, and I was like, I'm not waking up in 5 hours to watch that. So I just record it, wake up, leave my phone on my bedstand and watch it with no Twitter interaction, and just so it's in real time for me. How do you consume? Do you consume the Saints like that, or is it gotta be live?
It's got 9 times out of 10, Ralph. It's got to be live, mate. So I'll get up and watch it live. I can't deal with a delay. I need to know what's going on right away, unless it's a prime time game. So if it's a Sunday night or a Monday night game, I'll record it. Do like you said, the blackout. Won't look at internet. Won't look at anything for the day, and then we'll watch it that night with a group of friends. But that's only so I can drink beer and yell at the TV as well, mate. So, yeah. It's generally live. Yeah.
You know, I'm always curious for people not from the United States, and because football is a really, I mean, we love it, and we sort of, you know, Americans, I think, sort of take it for granted that it's, hey, it's, you know, it's this and it. Football is a really fucking complicated game. So, you know, how do you sort of learn it yourself if you don't have parents or a ton of culture around you that you sort of grow up with it, right? How do you sort of educate yourself on football, from where you started to where you are now?
The power of Google, Ralph. A lot of reading. And I wouldn't say I'm educated. Like I am getting there. But there's still a few rules where I'm like, oh wow, well, hey, why the hell has that flag been thrown? You know, I suppose that happens. But I suppose, yeah, just talking, watching a lot of games, Ralph. Obviously, I've built a bit of a friendship with Andrew as well, which is awesome. So I speak to him every now and then about a player or what's happening, and he gives me a little bit of insight too, which is so cool.
Yeah, I think I think the thing is with Andrew that I'm most proud of about the podcast is when I first met Andrew, the reason I probably told this story a bunch of times on these Spotlight Sons, but people only get them every month, so they can listen again. But I got Andrew, right, and he was a guy who could explain tape and football X's and O's really well. And just because you know it and you know X's and O's doesn't mean you can explain it well in a podcast or on TV, right? They have players that are famous, great players, right, and they stink at being a commentator because they just don't know how to translate it into what people can understand, and it's enjoyable, right? And Andrew he's great at that. But he's been doing this podcast so long that I've almost transitioned him into – he still knows the football, but he's almost turned into – all he cares about is jokes, right? Like, it's almost like I've poisoned the well of all the people on the podcast. All we care about is making Saints jokes now, which I'm most proud of and a little disappointed.
Hey, man, I actually love that. I reckon that's part of the show. I think you were talking about it the other day where you're like, people don't want to know about Kevin's love life or Andrew's kids.
Half the people want to know about the love life and, like, what my wife is doing and the cats and the sound effects and, like, what I'm drinking and
what Dave's mom's doing.
Yeah, and, like, the other half of the people are like, get to the Saints news. But I think, like, it's a – like, for us, the thing I think that – of all the Saints podcasts, and look, they have a bunch of good ones out there. Ian Howard does one that he's been on the show. I really like him. They have other people that do Saints podcasts. I think the one that the thing that separates us from all the rest of them is we have no boundaries and no filter. Like, we just people feel like they know us in a way.
Yeah, sure.
That I didn't understand until I started going on Channel 4, the New Orleans TV station in the morning.
Yep.
And I had, when I would go into New Orleans, people would come up to me and just start talking to me like a family member and start talking about stuff on the show that wasn't necessarily football related. And it made my wife is like, this is weird. Like, they're talking to you like they're a relative. And I was like, it's so cool that people like the show in that way. You know, and we're not as big as national sports shows or whatever, but I love the fact that we've sort of built this community and people know the jokes, they know us, they even will be like, something will happen and we'll be like, I can't wait to listen to Andrew complain about this penalty, or because they know how we are and they know our opinion, so they like excited to listen to how they think we're going to react, which makes me, which I love. So in Australia, what's the team of your, I guess, your little group of people? Do they all support bigger teams than you, or like more well-known name brand teams like the Patriots and the Cowboys, or is it like an eclectic bunch where they support random teams and you got another guy from Perth that is supporting the Jaguars?
Yeah, it is a little bit of a mixture because, like I said, like the coverage down here isn't the best. You know, it's on ESPN, but, you know, like big teams like the Patriots or the Cowboys or the New York Giants do get a lot of coverage off. But we've actually got a bit of a mixture. So we've got a couple of guys who are Patriot supporters, as I said, but they actually lived in the Boston area. We've got a Carolina Panthers supporter, believe it or not. No Falcons, unfortunately, because that would be
fun.
Yeah.
Well, good or bad, you could brawl with them during the...
Probably good at the moment. But we've got a bit of a mixture. We've got a Chicago's fan. We've got a Green Bay Packers fan. So it is a bit of a mixture. People have just gone for teams because they like the names or, you know, the colours or, you know, but it is a bit of a mixture, yeah.
Hey, man, I did, you know, before New Orleans had an NBA team, and before I sort of gravitated towards the Knicks in basketball, when I was a little kid, I gravitated towards teams with colors and uniforms, and I would watch hockey. Like, I liked the Rangers. Yep. I liked the Islanders because they had this weird guy with an axe for their logo. Like, you know, when you don't – I sort of equated to, like, you know, it's the same thing when I was a kid, right? If you're in Australia and you don't really understand – football, and you're like, this is cool, I want to understand it. How you pick your team is completely random because you have no understanding of the history and rivalries and all this. You're just like, you know what? I like the fact that Cleveland's uniform is completely brown, and I'm going to root for them. Like, it, you don't have a thing of, oh, I like Cleveland because they're tortured and this and the dog.
Yeah.
No, you're just like, or you're just like, oh, I like the Rams because their uniform is pretty, or you know, or whatever. And I think that to me, that's really interesting of how a foreigner will just be like, ah, I'm picking that team. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's just how it goes, like you said, across all sports, really, doesn't it? So. But like I said, I was obviously lucky enough to visit New Orleans and go, yeah, that's my team.
And I mean, the thing about I think New Orleans, the culture of it is it's unique to other cities in that New Orleans only has the one team, you know, in a bigger city. They have multiple teams, and yeah, they, you know, the Chicago might love the Bears because they're the only football team, but they've got the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bulls and the Blackhawks. New Orleans is just all Saints all the time, and it just creates this vibe for these games where, like, you know, like the Saints are going to open on Monday night, right, against the Texans, and I'm going to that game. I'm flying in. I'm flying in. I'm going to arrive Monday at like 1 o'clock, and me and my mom will probably head down there. And the whole downtown and the whole city is just going to be black and gold crazy. They're going to have Saints Day at schools. The whole, like, the whole city is just going to be covered in Saints jerseys. And I don't think you get that necessarily in other bigger markets, which makes the Saints unique. And also the Saints, the fleur-de-lis, it's a cool logo, but it's kind of weird. Like, if you think about it, like, other teams have animals and planes and this and that. The Saints have this French fleur-de-lis. It's just, it is, it's unique. You could say it's unique, or you could say it's weird. We say it's unique. A person that isn't bonded to New Orleans or doesn't like the Saints would probably be like, why do you have, like, a flower on your helmet?
But you're definitely right there, Ralph. One thing I noticed in New Orleans is the passion that people have for the Saints and football. It just sucks you in, and it's just so good.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you about how did you find our show, and what sort of gravitates you? Because I know I see you on Twitter, you interact with me, and you said you interacted with Andrew, and I see you tweeting a lot. How did you find us?
It was purely just punched into Google. Best
well
Saints.
We are number one. If you type in Saints podcast, we are number one.
Saints podcast. And I come across a few, so I've been listening to for about 3 years now. It was just when my hunger for the game started to get more, and wanted to listen every day about Saints football. And typed into Google you guys came up, and you were the ones, I just started listening to, and just I think I just, like I said, I was attracted to you just seem like everyday guys that love football and love.
Well, we are, except for Andrew. He lives in super fancy pants, Charlottesville, and
Charlottesville,
plays tennis at the country club, beating 50 middle-aged women and humiliating them. But the rest of us are normal, down-to-earth.
Normal people. And like you said, I think you just I feel like I know you guys, and I'm on the other side of the world. You know, like it's the chemistry you guys have, I think that's probably my number one thing I like. You know, like you said, Andrew's the stats guy, the play-by-play guy, level-headed most of the time anyway. You know, Dave's, you know, a bit of a funny guy, and he's cool because I met Dave as well. And I like, you know, you guys get into him about Tulane and whatnot. And then, you know, Kevin's there when he feels like turning up, and he's just full on all the time. And then yourself's the anchor, you know, you bring it all together. So I think the chemistry between you all is the best part of the show.
I think it's the best, and it's a more challenging show to do when it's all four of us, because as you know, that's the one thing I never really appreciated until I started doing this show, is like how hard it is to host a show, like a radio show or a TV show or whatever. And like, people are going to laugh at this, but you know, people make fun of Ryan Seacrest cuz you know he hosted American Idol and makes like $40 million a year. And once I started doing this show and had to deal with four other people, I'm like, man, Ryan Seacrest is fucking good at his job. He deserves the $40 million. But the thing is, it's hard to – it's tricky to balance and challenging to balance and get everybody's opinion in. But when all four of us are together, that's when it's the best, because the thing is, Kevin – gives us an edge, or I don't even know, describe what it is, but Kevin can get reactions out of all of us that I can't do. Like, I'm a better host than I'm a much better would be much better hosting than any of the three of them. But like, Kevin can get the reactions out of it. Dave can bring the edge and just the raw emotion of it, because he's there, and he's I think I feel like Dave, with his really good tickets to the game, it makes him not invested more, but invested in a different way, that he gets very angry more so.
He
And
does.
then you have Andrew, he brings the X's and O's, although more comedy lately. And but Kevin can just sort of, he's just like a fork, and he can poke each one of us in a way that I can't do with Dave and Andrew, and they can't do with me, that only Kevin can do. So I love it when all four of us are together doing the show. I just think it has an energy that the other episodes are still great, but it's just a different type of thing. It's almost like listening to a great record and then seeing that band live, and Kevin's there. It's just a different oomph to it. But so Nick, before I get you out of here, are you gonna attend any games this year?
We're trying to get across Katie and my wife. She's actually not my wife, but I just wanted to
My
say that. I just wanted to say that to get that sound a bit. We're gonna try and get across, definitely, whether it be the end of so this upcoming season, towards the end of the year again. Because she obviously she's well and truly on board now too. She loves the Saints and loves New Orleans. She fell in love with the place as well. So we'll hopefully get across towards the end of the year, Ralph.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm my plan is I'm going to the Texans game to start, and I want to go to the Falcons game, although I'm going to have to fly in super early, day of game, and I may also go to the San Francisco game later in the year as well. The one game that I really wanted to go to, but it just didn't work out, I want to go see Arizona, because I really like Kyler Murray, the little tiny quarterback that they're probably going to draft number
Do
one.
you reckon they'll take him? Do you reckon
I
they'll
think they're
take?
going to take. I mean, we're people. Full disclosure: we're recording this. It's draft day. You may be hearing this 3 or 4 months from now, but me and Nick we're recording this on Thursday. The NFL draft is today. I think they're going to take him. I think they hired Cliff Kingsbury, the guy who loves him and coached him a little bit. Like, I think they're going to take him, and I'm just fascinated to see him because he's really tiny, like Drew Brees, but super athletic. I just wanted to see him in person in the dome, so I'm a little disappointed of that. But we'll see. I mean, the Saints are probably going to do something. The Saints are probably going to do something crazy today or Friday, Nick. So maybe if we did a live stream, like what's the time difference in Australia?
I'm 13 hours ahead of you.
Okay.
So it's 2:48 Friday morning here.
Okay. So if we did a show, if we did a live stream tonight at like 9, that would be like the middle of the day. Or we did something like 9 or 10 at night tomorrow when the Saints picked at 62. Maybe you could listen live. You can join the chat room. But Guy, I appreciate you joining us on the Patreon spotlight. I completely appreciate you getting up in the middle of the night to do this ridiculousness with me and everybody else. If you want to be on the Patreon spotlight, just donate $5 a month, and you can get we'll pick we pick a winner. You get to chat with me for 10, 15, 20 minutes about being a Saints fan, the show, and all that fun stuff. It's great. It's a great way for you to support the show and meet me and the guys. So Nick, stay safe, and if you do get your plans and you do get here in December, hit me up on the Twitters, and maybe if I'm at the same game as you, we will get together before the game like we did on Thanksgiving.
Will do, Ralph. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
All right, everybody. Until next time, the bar is closed.